after Rachel gave birth to Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, "Send me on my way so that I can go back to my own homeland. Give me my wives and children for whom I have served you, and I will be on my way. You know how much I have done for you." But Laban said to him, "If I have found favor in your eyes, please stay. I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you." He added, "Name your wages, and I will pay them." Jacob said to him, "You know how I have worked for you, and how your livestock have fared under my care. The little you had before I came has increased greatly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I have been. But now, when may I do something for my own household?" "What shall I give you?" he asked. "Don't give me anything," Jacob replied. But if you will do this one thing for me, I will go on tending your flocks and watching over them. Let me go through all your flocks today and remove from them every speckled or spotted sheep, every dark-coloured lamb, and every spotted or speckled goat. They will be my wages, and my honesty will testify for me in future. Whenever you check on the wages you have paid me, any goat in my possession that is not speckled or spotted, or any lamb that is not dark-coloured, will be considered stolen." "Agreed," said Laban. "Let it be as you have said." That same day he removed all the male goats that were streaked or spotted, and all the speckled or spotted female goats, all that had white on them, and all the dark-coloured lambs, and he placed them in the care of his sons. Then he put a three-day journey between himself and Jacob, while Jacob continued to tend the rest of Laban's flocks. Jacob, however, took fresh-cut branches from poplar, almond, and plane trees, and made white stripes on them, by peeling the bark and exposing the white inner wood of the branches. Then he placed the peeled branches in all the watering troughs so that they would be directly in front of the flocks when they came to drink. When the flocks were in the heat and came out to drink, they mated in front of the branches, and they bore young that were streaked or speckled or spotted. Jacob set them apart, the young of the flock, by themselves, but made the rest face the streaked and dark-coloured animals that belonged to Laban. Thus he made separate flocks for himself, and he did not put them with Laban's animals. Whenever the stronger females were in heat, Jacob would place the branches in the troughs in front of the animals so that they would mate near the branches. But if the animals were weak, he would not place them there. So the weak animals went to Laban, and the strong ones to Jacob. In this way, the man grew exceedingly prosperous and came to own large flocks. And the maidservants and manservants and camels and the donkeys.
Thank you, Peter, for such a powerful reading. I think we need more space here. There isn't enough space in the front. Right. This morning, or maybe during the week, as I was preparing my sermon, I entitled it, "Crooks Have No Joy." Look at that. Crooks have no joy. They might have words and words of money. They might make a lot of money, but if that money is made in a crooked way, they are not happy at all. As we go along in my sermon this morning, I want to tell you this story. A woman walked into a butcher shop on her way from work. And then she said to the butcher, "Please, may I have a chicken, a full chicken?" What was in her mind was her two teenage boys who were in weightlifting. You know, those, when they do weightlifting, they eat like there's no tomorrow. If you want to know more about weightlifting, ask me after the service. So she said, "May I have a full chicken?" So the butcher man put the chicken on the scale. And the lady said, "What's the weight?" The butcher said, 3 kgs. She said, no, I don't want that one, because I've got two boys at home who eat like there's no tomorrow. I want one which is 4 kg or 3.5 kg and above." And the butcher, he had only one chicken left in the fridge, unknown to Gladys. I'll call the lady Gladys. So what did he do? He takes the chicken back in the fridge. He ruffles everything like he's looking for the chicken. He brought the same chicken out and put it on the scale. And she said, "What's that one?" And the butcher said, 3.5. "Okay, I'll have that one. That will be enough for my boys." Unknown to Gladys, that was the same chicken that she refused earlier on. And to the butcher, he's gaining out of crooked means. So that's why I said, crooks have no joy. The text that we read this morning is quite a difficult text. You remember the story of Jacob earlier on. He cheated his brother through crooked means. He got blessings. Now, his father-in-law, his uncle, is also now giving him the taste of his own medicine. So, I found it difficult actually when I was reading it. So, I was saying, sometimes you put yourself in that situation and you want to be in the position of God. If I was God, what was I going to do here? But unfortunately, I'm not God. But I'm allowed to ask myself questions. Because Jacob now is feeling how bad it is to crook other people. But he forgot he did the same to his brother. Never mind. But here he has learned one thing. And one thing that he has learned is the issue of forgiving others. The issue of letting things go. He is a hard-working man. So, in other words, God loves hard-working people. Look the way he's working for his father-in-law. He's not getting a wage. But look how he's looking after his father-in-law's animals, looking after everything around him. We haven't heard of animals being eaten by wild animals because he was protecting them. Yes? The story says he worked for 7 years to get a wife. And he was given the wrong wife. And he worked another 7 years to get another wife. Wow. And Laban was pleased by his work. Hence, we find in verse 26, he was asking. 27, he says, "Ask for anything. That will be your wage. I will give it to you." And he explains how he wanted the wage to be. But now, I want you to see this. If he's going to come up. This is what we're going to look at. Hard workers, change attitudes, divination, and contracts. Okay? Hard workers, looking at Ephesians. You don't need to open your Bibles. It's right on there. To show that God loves hard-working people. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful within his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Here, we find Jacob working hard, and there is a lot of sheep and goats being born on the farm. Isn't that enabling Laban to be a rich man? Because his God is blessing him. Another one also that comes with that. Ecclesiastes. Hey, I got it right. Oh, no. Don't discourage me. Right. Anyway, Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10 says this: whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the grave where you are going, there is no neither working, nor planning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom. Brother, you hear that? When we go to the grave, no more trends. Okay? Jania, when we go to the grave, no more cleaning people's houses. Marian, no preschools when you go to the grave. So when you want to have your box being ticked, do it now. Right? When those customers are coming to the platform, even if they harass you, when they ask you in a bad way, do it for the joy of the Lord. This is your hard working. Even when you are in the church here, let your smile please someone. Let your hug please someone. Some people are uplifted by just a hug. Some people are uplifted just by a smile. That's hard working for the Lord. What about Corinthians 1:10, verse 31? It says this: so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Matthew goes on to say, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. It's because of what you do. This is hard work. That's why God is pleased by hard work. So if you are not a hard worker, I think you need to change your attitudes. Amen? Hard working doesn't necessarily mean to say where you are gainfully employed, that's where you do your hard work, even here in the house of God. Because when we go to the grave, as Ecclesiastes say, we don't work there. We wait for Jesus to return. Are you with me? So, the time to do hard work is now. Yes? Good. So, with these few verses, you can see a window of what God, our Heavenly Father, values when we do hard work. No wonder Jacob was such a diligent man, and he uses his hands, and a diligent hand will rule, while the slothful will be put to forced labor. He's now being blessed by God. You saw the activity that I did with the children. In the end, Jacob had loads of sheep and goats because he was a hard worker. God blesses hard workers. Laban was fearful. If Jacob goes back to his land, he is going to be a poor man. Because he knew he was being blessed because of Jacob's God. So in the end, he changed his attitudes. Why am I saying he changed his attitudes? In my Bible, he actually acknowledged, I don't know in yours, it says here, if I can get it. 27. But Laban said to him, if I have found favor in your eyes, please stay. I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Wow. Divination. In Deuteronomy 18 verse 10 to 11, it says this: God is against the practice of divination. This is why Laban had to change his attitudes. He changed his attitudes because God is against divination. For example, never sacrifice your son or daughter as a burnt offerings, and do not let your people practice fortune telling. Do not let your people use sorcery or interpret omens or engage in witchcraft or casting of spells or function as mediums or psychics or call forth the spirits of the dead. What should believers do against false prophets? You should say no. I want you to look at this clip. Tony, let's have that clip on, please.
Eating grass may seem like an unorthodox way to show your religious devotion. But for members of the Raboni Center Ministries in Hurunkura, South Africa, grazing on greenery is a key part of their spiritual practice. Pastor Lesejo Daniel, who runs the ministry, believes it brings worshippers closer to God with some members of the congregation even claiming it has cured them of serious health defects.
I want to lead people to a place they've never been today. You are here in this church, but I'm taking you on a journey. Wake up!
The pastor uses his services to lead his followers on a spiritual journey.
I'm taking you to hell. I'm leading you to hell. See how hell looks like. We're coming back. Let's come back. Are you hungry? Sip. Be quiet. Okay, go and eat. Go and eat.
And while the group's unusual eating habits have attracted controversy online, members of the ministry have no plans to stop the practice.
If Jesus turned water into wine, we are turning the grass into spaghetti and beans.
Thank you, Tony. Look at that clip. I was encouraged to read from Jeremiah 14, verse 14. It says this: Then the Lord said to me, the prophets are prophesying lies in my name. I have not sent them or appointed them or spoken to them. They are prophesying to you false visions, divinations, adulteries, and the delusions of their own minds. I'm not asking you to be judgmental. I don't want to be judgmental either. But are we saying the name of Jesus is being preached in a better way if that is appearing? I'm reminded of what we were saying, Michael, earlier on, things are disappearing in the church. And I remember last week before, I spoke about the church of Jesus Christ under attack. That pastor there is saying he's representing Jesus. I don't think you want to be associated with him. I wouldn't. But this is on the internet. Everyone else is watching. This is what the people of Jesus are doing. Surely, I think that's why Laban had to change his attitudes. We also need to change our attitudes. If we are following such practice, we are to change. If you are one of those pastors, what are you? Personally, I will say you are a crook. Crooks have no joy. Surely, we need to treat our workers with respect. We need to give credit where it's due. We've seen about divination. God is against it. People mustn't allow it either. No false prophets, no delusions too. We don't want that. Treatment of workers. Workers are supposed to have contracts. I remember when I was at the hospital, I was made to sign a contract. Whether you say it verbally or it's written down, it's a contract. But you heard what Laban did. He removed the striped sheep and goats and took them away because he wanted to stop the cycle of breeding, not knowing that Jacob was a blessed man. God was going to provide a miracle. All the sheep and goats that he ended up having, it was God's provisions. Because Laban was breaching the same contract that he had. They agreed verbally, but he breached it. He removed the striped goats and sheep away, wanting to cheat Jacob. As workers, we must have contracts. Contract is binding. Do you have a binding contract with Jesus this morning? If you don't have a binding contract with Jesus this morning, I'm sorry to say, you are a crook. Yes? Because contracts are binding, whether you've said it verbally or you've written it down. But if you're not following what the contracts say, you are a crook. And crooks have got no? Amen. Crooks have got no? Hallelujah. So if you are contracted to follow Jesus, do what the contract says. As I conclude, but before I conclude this morning, I want to say, the joy of having a contract. I know it's not, some people don't like it. Yesterday, there was a boxing contest on the TV. Who watched it? Who watched the boxing contest yesterday? No? Right. And the new world champion is, what's his name again? Fury. Tyson Fury. He's from Britain. He defeated Klitschko yesterday. But I did. It's not the boxing that touched my heart. It's what he said. He said, I have defeated Tyson Fury not because I'm a good boxer. Because the one who is behind me has given me this victory. Jesus is behind me. I'm only a man. But Jesus has given me a victory. He kept on repeating those words. And I said to myself, yes, it's a boxing contest. This guy is already preaching. Millions and millions were watching that boxing contest. And he kept on repeating the name of Jesus. Because he has got a contract with Jesus. Even though he was boxing in that ring, he knew he was there because of Jesus. So today, let's be encouraged to value that contract that we have with Jesus. But if you don't have one, I will repeat these words again. Crooks have got no joy. You are a crook. You need to renew your contract with Jesus. As I conclude, hardworking is at God's heart. If God is for us, no one can be against us. You need joy. Then have a contract with Jesus if you want joy. Remember, today's theme, crooks have no joy. My brother, my sister, it's never too late. We are here because Jesus loves you. You are here because Jesus wants you to have a contract with him. You are here because Jesus died for you. And I want to repeat again, Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? If you are not, prepare your ways now. Do your hard work now. God's DNA is full of hard working. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you because you are a loving God. Father, we pray that your word will stay in our hearts. You enable us to have a binding contract with your Son so that we don't go astray. In whatever we do, we'll be prosperous like Jacob did. He was blessed by you. When we are on Jesus' side, we will be blessed. We'll have good health. We'll have good houses. We'll have good friends. We'll have good neighbors because you are in us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for today. In your name we've prayed. Amen.